You there?
Log Talk Radio.
Please put your seats in the reclining position. You are now entering the Adult Zone. Adult Zone. With La Crush and Black Reporter.
Only on Phone Fantasy Radio.
Hello!
That deals.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Phone... Welcome to the Adult Zone. Brought to you by Phone Fantasy Radio.
Phone Fantasy Radio.
With your hostess, the Crush Heart, and co-host.
Hostess with the mostest, and co-host Black Reporter.
Right, and we are powered by Blog Talk Radio. There we go.
Yeah.
That's our complete intro right there. This is the Adult Zone, brought to you by Phone Fantasy Radio, powered by Blog Talk Radio. Too many damn names.
There you go.
Right.
There you go.
So before we get started, let's get, you know, our intros out the way. Is that your TV blazing in the background?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, that's people blazing in the background.
People. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, okay. But before we get into our topic tonight, let's first say this. How are you doing, Black Reporter?
I'm doing okay. And yourself, madam?
I am doing swell.
You sound like you're back to normal.
Right, I'm back. I'm getting ready to say that. I just got a little cough, but other than that, everything is co-aesthetic back this way. My voice is back. La 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 la. I can get my karaoke on. I still sound horrible, but at least I can get my karaoke on. You know, I can get my sing on.
Get karaoke on. Oh
yes,
my God.
Karaoke, man. I sit here with my playlist, with my thousands of songs, and I sit here and I just listen and all through the day.
That reminds me. I might as well give the plug. This coming Thursday evening.
We didn't even get there yet. She was gone.
Huh?
I couldn't do it.
You
can do it. Can I do it? Can I get there first?
You can do it.
We didn't even finish talking about our past, and you already bringing up Thursday. Can we?
I'm excited. I'm sorry.
You're excited. Ooh.
Yeah.
So, folks, let me tell you why Black Reporter is excited. We scrapped one idea and we came up with another. That's what we do. That's what people that's on a mission do. And we've come up with a brand new show. But every last Thursday on Crush Radio, it's called the School Battle, folks. The School Battle. We got La Crush's New School Power Hour, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. And we have Black Reporter's Old School Jam Mix from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. Every last Thursday on Crush Grooves, brought to you by Phone Fantasy Radio, powered by Blog Talk Radio. The battle begins this Thursday, January 26th. Usual call-in number. We're gonna get it popping. We're gonna get it popping. It's called the School Battle, Crush Groove School Battle. I got a nice little flyer for it and everything. I wish you could see it. Can you get it?
No.
You can't get pictures on your phone?
Hmm?
You can't get pictures on your phone?
Well, repeat that?
I said you can't get pictures on your phone?
Yeah, I can. I haven't seen it.
Oh. All right, we'll put it up. I'll put it up there. I'll let you see it. It got an MP3 player versus the boombox on it. I got the boombox, the old school cassette tape, y'all. It don't even have a new dial. It has the old
dial. Don't hate.
I'm not hating. I had a cassette tape, but I only used it to plug in. I had a boombox with a cassette tape a couple of years ago when I actually did use the thing. But I only used it to put the adapter in that, you know, the car adapter that lets you plug into the headphones of your device so you can play your CD player and stuff like that. That's what I did.
Actually, you know what you should have done? You shouldn't have went cassette. What you should have done was that if you could have, you should have, and I don't know if there was never a quote-unquote portable 8-track.
Right.
So, do the 8-track player against MP3.
Right. I could have went that far back, but come on, Black of Water. Come on, like you gotta.
Okay, so
what we need to do though, before we get into the topic, we just shoot the breeze right now. I said it right. Before we get into that, I gotta ask you, Black Reporter, what do you consider old school versus new school? That's what I was having problems with. Like, what's new school versus old school now?
Okay, I don't know what you consider new school, but old school, you know, like Parliament, Funkadelic, Average White Man.
Are you going up to the 80s? Can you go up to the 80s? You're going up to the 80s,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
okay. I'll
go
up to the 80s. So the new school will be between 90s and 2000s.
Yeah,
right?
Like, let me give you an example. Like, okay, the beginning of the rap era. Okay.
Okay, so that's like 89. 80, no, I'm lying. That's like 86.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like 86. So you're going to go all the way up to 86?
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right. That'll work for me.
I mean, you know, Zap is considered old school. Roger, you know.
So you're not doing rap. You're just going to do R&B.
Oh, yes, I am.
You're going to do rap. Okay.
The very beginning of rap.
Right. So you're talking about they escaped my brain, like Curtis Blow and Rapper's Delight.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff
exactly.
Of that. Exactly. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't push me, cause I'm so close to the end. I'm trying not to lose my head.
Okay. All right, folks. Tonight is a very interesting topic. It seems like it will affect the majority of us, honestly. I really do feel this way. But like I said, tonight is a very interesting topic. We have a caller from the 347-512. What's up? What's your name and where you calling from?
What it is, it's me, boy, Stevie B from ENY. Stevie!
What up, Stevie?
Welcome on, bruh.
What's
going
Stevie
on?
B?
Welcome to class.
And we also have our good friend from Columbus, Ohio. What it do, John?
What's up, honey?
Good evening,
how's everybody doing? What's up, Black Reporter?
Are y'all down Rumble for our conversation for tonight?
Oh, yeah.
You down for
a
conversation tonight? Well, tonight's conversation is, it was
boom
a
boxes woo-hoo and old school music.
Oh, no. Not our conversation for tonight. That was just shooting the breeze.
That's true. That's to come.
Right. That's to come. That's Thursday night. Boom boxes and MP3 players. That's Thursday night. Tonight is called school reform. In Florida, Indiana.
Where's all that back noise coming from?
What?
Okay. In Florida and other states like Indiana and now California is on the verge. They are holding parents responsible for the lack of attendance for the kids between the ages of kindergarten all the way up to eighth grade. And what they're doing is, you know, one time they just find you some money. Right, Dr. Porter, you gotta go somewhere. Oh, I gotta mute you because I'm talking over you. That's not cool. Okay. What they gotta do now is basically they bumped up the charge to being a misdemeanor. So now parents can actually be sent to criminal court and can also serve time up to about a year and be still fined $2,000 if their kid is in school about 10% of the school year with unexcused absence. What's that? Did y'all turn y'all
phone? The hell is that?
It's not my phone.
It ain't my phone.
Can y'all turn that down? If y'all have a game playing in the background or something like that.
Well, I'm sorry. I got the State of the Union address on. My bad.
Right. After that. Yeah. Obama kick rock. No, I'm just playing. Gotta love Obama. Love Obama. Woo, vote for Obama. Anyway, so that's tonight's topic. We're going to talk about, is this too extreme? Should there be, what are y'all thoughts on this? If you have a children that attend school and are in the ages of kindergarten to eighth grade or between, like, 11 years old and younger, like, this has been a big controversy. They're really trying to push it in California right now. Like I said, Florida already has it. Go ahead.
I don't see controversy here. What I see is that's part of your responsibility as a parent. Make sure your child gets their ass up and goes to school.
Right.
And the fact that you're not making them, that's a problem on you as a parent. And that's one of your responsibilities as a parent. If they are so bold as to negate your parental responsibility, then have them go out and do, if we are pushing close to high school age, they can be considered an emancipated minor. But I personally don't think that any child who is among the age ranges that you stated, the age from kindergarten through eighth grade or whatever, has the right or responsibility to do that. That's just my personal belief.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like I said, people in Indiana has already implemented this law, and also the state of Florida has also implemented this law. Applies to students 11 years old of age or younger. Now, Black Report, your kids is grown. I want to get to CVB because CVB, you have younger kids, right?
Yeah, I got younger.
Right.
I see no problem with it because, like, if you got kids around the age of mine, which is 6, 5, 4, and no, well, actually it's 6, 5, and 3 that goes to school. As a parent with kids those age, you're supposed to be responsible to get off your butt and make sure these kids get to school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, exactly. The sad thing to see here in New York, which that law should probably make your way through New York, you have parents that don't even care their kids that young even get up to go to school. After time, the parents don't even bother to get up and get the kids ready and get them to school. They just go, oh, well, you missed a day, whatever, go in the room and play with your little toys or watch a little cartoons or such, which you can leave it as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And no, that's just blatant. That now, when you start seeing, parenting like that, that's just blatantly laziness, and you just don't care. And then you wonder why certain kids raise up to a certain age that they don't care about going to school or whatever they're doing in their life. They went in the streets. This was more. This was a bit of an ongoing cycle of kids raising up and just running the streets.
Right. Well, that's their argument for actually implementing the law to begin with. It already passed the Senate. For California, for the state of California. Now, my concern is, like, the state of California being as metropolis, as you could say, that it is, like, this is something that can and will, or, you know, will affect some place like New York City. You know, there's certain places, you'd be like, oh, that never happened in New York City. You know, and this is one of those things that it may just happen in New York City. However, I agree with the law to an extent. I just wish the age range was a little further up.
Right.
I wish the age range was a little further up. I say if the age range was, say, like 14 or 15, you know, around that age range. If it was more of that line, I could understand. Out of the Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 225-281. It's in the building. What up, Ms. Parker? AKA Lady C. You gotta stop doing that, John. Ew. What's up, Lady C?
Oh, nothing much.
Okay, so once again, I'll explain tonight's topic is I just lost the page. Okay, tonight we'll be discussing the new bill lawmakers are putting into effect around the U.S. of A. each state. Every now and then, you know, putting some type of version of this bill in effect. And places like Florida, Indiana already have it in effect for this school year. And parents of children in grades of kindergarten to A are being sent to jail and fined up to $2,000 if the child has 10 unexcused absences within the school year. Now they explained it a little bit of how it's going to go down. Students 11 years of age or younger, school social workers will monitor students' absences, and parents will be notified if their child has accumulated 2 or 3 absences. Following notification, the prosecutor's office will pick up the cases from school and determine if they must press charges. For the most part, parents involved in cases will be asked to join a diversion program, and compliance means nothing will be added to the parent's criminal record, but noncompliance means appearance in criminal court and potential jail time. Formerly, these cases were sent to juvenile court. But the new initiative aims to pressure parents to place added emphasis on their kids who attended school. So that's what's going on so far, and that's actually coming from the Huffington Post in Indiana.
That's affecting Louisiana. It's been down here a couple years. Because my sister... they sent her a letter over her son. He was sick. He had excused absences, and they still sent her one. And she had to go out with the doctor's excuses to let them know, because it's either a fine or jail time, or they could do both.
Right.
And she had to take the doctor's excuses down because he has asthma.
Oh.
And he's in middle school. And they was ready to pick her up and give her a fine. I mean, I understand partially, but for kids who are sick and they have parents who are really working, look like they target them first.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, I think it's too extreme. And like, I'm on a fence with it because I think, like, you know, yes, hold these parents responsible. Like Stevie said earlier, these parents that, you know, go back to bed or, you know, just being plain lazy. I can understand, you know, hold these parents responsible. But you also have parents that have more than one child, first of all. Secondly, these parents are single parents. You know, you got to look at, like, there's other issues onto, you know, it's not just being lazy people. I mean, there could be other issues. Okay, this parent don't work all night and missed the alarm clock, or this parent had to stay over at work and couldn't get to their kid in time, or, you know, there's something there that, you know, and I don't think just throwing them in jail would solve the actual problems that's causing them not to get their kids to school. Now, I know that this is just the last resort. They do have, I guess they do try to help you out and try to work with you. But I just think that, you know, now you done put this parent to jail, and they in jail for over a year. They done lost their job. It's on their record. Like, how is this benefiting the child? You get what I'm saying? Just to put them in jail. How is that benefiting the child?
The child don't have nowhere to go. Aren't they going to foster care?
Right. And you already talking about how that's overpopulated. You know?
Yeah.
So, and it's like, you know, it's so much, you know, so much other underneath that they're not just looking at. You know,
well,
they feel like
they need a correct war with the bill, right? Like, explaining what you said. You got single parents, you got parents out there working, things happen. Then that means they need to bring more social work and social programs into this bill to help those type of parents out. Now, they're jailing and fining, that's basically I'll use that discreet for these, what you'll call as these no good parents. The parents that just don't give a damn about their kids. Now, those are parents that you need to go to that stream with, that you need to really take it to the point that you need to get through your head. You're a parent, and what your child do out there in this world is going to be a consequence on you. But like you said, you have parents out there single and they're struggling. That's when you need to bring a social program in and get them some type of help and get them so when they go to work, they can have a program to pick up the kids and make sure the kids get to school and make sure a parent can keep their job and keep a roof over the kids' heads and keep food in their belly and have a good home environment.
Right, and this is, you know, and on top of that, you know, you can't, it's like you double talk to yourself because now you're telling us you don't have the money for these after-school programs, you don't have the money to pay for the teachers, you don't have the money to pay for more social workers, which is just, you know, to you know, help with these problems. You don't have that type of money. A lot of these programs, I mean, then the school itself, let's not even get into the curriculum itself.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're trying to, you know, I understand, once again, make parents be responsible for what's going on. I agree with that. I really do. However, I think it's just too extreme, and it will not solve anything. It will actually create more problems if you put the kid, if you put the parent in jail.
See, the bad thing, they don't realize that a school system with more social programs will help a community way better than cutting these programs.
Mm-hmm.
So you cut these programs to fund other programs that really need their funding cut.
Mm-hmm.
You're funding the defense bills, you're funding this, you're funding that, but you want to cut away from the most important thing, and then you're saying this country need to get back on its feet. But the main point, put this country back on its feet, you're cutting. The thing that create jobs, you're cutting, because social programs create more jobs than anything.
Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you got to also think about this mentally. If a parent is in jail, it affects the child mentally. It affects their growth.
Yeah, that too.
You know, like this is something like you're putting strain on this child, not even considering what's going on in the household, like Lady C said, as far as the parent, as far as the child being sick or, you know, can't, and you know, they out of school. Okay, understandable, your child's out of school, but to sit up there and really threaten them, like, okay, you'll be fined $1,000 or sent to jail because of X, Y, and Z, and you already document, it's already documented. That's the thing. It's already documented at the school that the child had these illnesses. Like,
right.
You have to let them know ahead of time about these child with these illnesses. I don't know. I don't know. What you
said? No, that's a key point to this whole thing over this bill, that these people, before they come in and jump on a parent, especially jumping on a good parent, because the problem with these bills like this and these laws, it always seems like it attacks the good parent before actually you go after the parents that really need.
That's
why they need more social programs, especially to help these good parents out here, to make sure that this type of attack and persecute towards them don't fall on them. It actually gets there to the right people who really need to get their heads knocked some sense into and realize that you don't give a damn about your child, and the child don't give a damn about itself, and somebody got to pay the consequence of that child running around don't give a damn about itself because you don't want to give a damn about him.
That's why
I can understand the point of the being fined, probably 30 days in jail, even though, like you said, what good do the jail system really do, because it really does no real help. That's just another way of money, but to put in a social program and bring some help to that family, that's better. Now, the main thing, a steady home environment is way much better. But then you got, like I said, you got parents that are willing to take that help, but then you got parents that willing to not take that type of social program help and willing to just, I don't care. They can drink, smoke, and do whatever. I don't care if the child go out there and do the same thing because I want to live my life. After you have that child, you live your life doing what you do, came to a home. You got somebody else responsible for that. But what makes the big argument about these laws, like I just said before, it feel like good parents, responsible parents that's always been there for their kids, rescue kids with different type of illness and sickness, get picked on. And like, but don't you understand where I'm coming from? It's documented why my child is sick. It's documented why my child's out of school with an illness. Those people should be exempt and really should be, okay, we won't give you some more help. We're going to give you some more help. There go some more programs. There go
but
more
programs.
But
they don't have the money for that. Like, it sounds good.
They don't have the money for
it. But they're not even they don't have it. They're not making the money for that. They can get the money. They really can.
Money.
They just not making
They do have the money for it. They just don't want to put the money towards the right program. They want to put towards these other bills and other government-funded, corporate-funded programs more than going out and actually being for the people and working for the people. That's the problem. See, these people don't understand. They get elected by the people, but they don't actually work for the people. They always go against that. Put them
all right, my brother.
They wonder why us people in these communities go against them. They speak up against them like, what have you done for us? You done ran as our congressman, our senator, our augustman, and whatever office there is for us. Why are you still not doing nothing for us? Why we keep losing?
Mm-mm.
It's the frustration.
Right. What are your thoughts, Black Reporter? Black Reporter? Okay, let it see.
Well, I think the biggest problem is they used to have the programs. Now they've allocated the money elsewhere. They worry about getting funds for roads, and then they want to say the children are lost, and we're not putting any to hold the children there. You know, and it's not always the parents' fault. You know, if I'm a single mother and I'm working, and I don't have transportation. All I have is the bus. I drive school bus, and then I got to try to figure out how to get this child to school. And I just left work, and I'm trying to get to work. So what do you do? Lose your job to get the child at school or leave the child at home and go to work? So many variables in the situation that they're not allowing. And then they don't make it easy for those who are single to actually try to get off the system.
Right.
You know, if you start to get off the system, then they start penalizing you. And then if you stay on the system, they want to put you down.
Yeah. It's a catch-22. It's like it's a catch-22 to the whole scenario. But it's like, and then it's so frustrating. And then you wonder why the people get so aggravated and so frustrated and just to the point they're giving up. And then the problem is, you come to these, you come to them, and you bring that to the light. And oh, but you know, we gotta do. Well, what is you really doing? Every tax dollar, every government money getting collected in, and why it gotta get pushed off to something better, something not even better, just something that's clearly worthless. In programs that is actually benefiting us.
Mm-hmm.
You cut these kids after school program. You done cut. You cut certain curriculums in school. They ready to cut art out of school. They ready to cut this, cut that, cut that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got nothing for these kids to go to. You want to come down? Oh, you responsible while they ain't getting to school? Or you responsible? But I am responsible. I've been making sure. Then I've been making parts of my back to get to work. This is what I'm doing as a parent. This is the sacrifice I do. I had to do. But you have to have something to help me out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't see the bad thing is it takes certain bad people to make it bad on everybody.
Right. Everybody is being. It's not just the lazy people that's being affected by this, but it's the working class as well. So you would think they would have more to say about this, but it's the working class and middle class that, you know, you're being affected or you should be, you know, affected by this. If you are sending your kids to school and you off to work and your kid leaves the grounds, you know, once I send my kid and I know my kid is in school, am I still being held responsible because my kid left after I done sent him to school, and I know I'm just saying, like, I know my child walked through that door because I dropped him off and I watched him walk through that door. Now, am I still being, and I went off to work. Now, am I still being held responsible because my child took a U-turn or there was nobody at the door to greet my child to make sure that he went all the way to class? Because that has happened. I've done that. I remember doing that in school.
I did that
at school. I got to school. I went to school. I was there. I seen the teacher, and I turned around and did a U-turn, and I came right back on out.
Yeah,
hey, my dad dropped me off at school.
I actually read in the paper of that happening. Certain parents is getting arrested and fined. Why? They actually do what they're doing. They drop the kids off at school, watch the kids on the door, but the kids is making a U-turn towards the back door now, leaving the school ground.
Right.
So, the reality is, once I drop my child off at school, it is the school official, teachers, or whoever to make sure these kids get to their class.
Right.
You damn, these kids, you turn the eyes on me when I make sure that child got in that building. I'm going to get on that child for cutting because I'm going to get in his butt.
But you can't
the school officials at to make sure that the school safety officers is covering every door, make sure they see these kids skipping classes, and if they do catch these kids skipping classes, now these kids should be put on notice and it should be given that, no, it's not the parent. The parent is responsible. It's just these child want to be rotten and he want to go do what he want to go do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's when that child should feel that 30 days in the jail cell and see how it really feels.
But you can't do but so much because, you know, they could call and say it's child abuse. So you can only do, you know, your hands are still tied. And if they knew that and you do find out that your kid is skipping or he's not going following through in class, your hands are still tied because you can't do what your mama did to you. Like when I was found out, I got an ass whooping.
My mom You know, and it was brought to their attention. So you can't do that. Like you say, if we whoop our children or our grandchildren, like we were whooped, first thing they're gonna do is come get them. Or if the child gets them in the day, next thing they do is send them for 3 days. So right. You give a reward for missing.
Well, hold on. Let me put
it some time out.
Okay, but wait, let me add another aspect to this. They also thinking about charging parents for detention. Because detention costs manpower, overtime, and so forth and so forth. So they're thinking about actually implementing charges to the parents if your kid has detention.
Oh, my
after.
God.
Huh?
Oh,
That's
crazy.
That's, you know, what are y'all doing? Then you know you're sitting up here telling me I have to go to jail and all this other stuff. But what happens to my other two kids?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
But
like,
but you're gonna charge me to sit them in the room and say time out. But I can't whoop them.
Like, well, come out, city, hope city better.
And, you know, and the thing is, I don't know how it is out there, but I've seen the 8-year-olds and the 9-year-olds and the 10-year-olds and the 11-year-olds, and they're out there, and they talk so grown, and you see them kiki and kaka, and I swear, if you don't look at their faces, you would have thought they were high schoolers. I swear,
yeah.
If you look at their faces,
yeah.
You would have thought they were in the high school.
I'm going to tell you, I was in the city the other day. I was around 14th Street, Union Square. Now, I know it's three high schools in that area.
Uh-huh.
But the kids I see hanging in the 14th Street, Union Square Park was mostly 8. Their ages was around 8 and 10, hanging out, smoking cigarettes, and this, that. And I'm like,
damn.
You swear they can grow. You thought the way they hanging and chilling, you thought they had a job.
Mm-hmm.
So they break the truck, just cursing and chilling, smoking cigarettes, whatever, doing whatever they want to do. Mind you, and hate to say it, you know, don't want to bring really race into it, but most of them was little white kids. But I'm like, now where's the social services on these people?
No doubt.
Now, when I was in high school, my high school was right downtown Brooklyn. And, you know, all the shopping areas, the big old mall down there and everything. What the shopping area started doing was they wouldn't allow you into the store unless you had a parent with you or an adult escorting you. You was not allowed to go to the store. They looked at you and you looked like you was under the age of 18. You was not allowed in the store. You know what I'm saying? And that was their way of trying to keep the kids. Because you were downtown. You're like in the middle of the biggest shopping area in Brooklyn, New York, you know, and you know, kids love to shop. You know, we go into the mall, we hanging out in the mall, we going to the movies, we doing all this stuff. So that's what they started doing. You know, they started and the thing is, and then you had these hooky parties. Can't forget those. I couldn't even get it out. You had the hooky parties parties where you go to somebody's house because the parent went to school, and you go hang out at the house, and
Of course, I remember the hooky party days. I used to go to high school. And that's borderline Flatbush and Crown Heights and Canarsie area.
Uh-huh.
So it was always somebody parents went to work that morning. That kid got that house home alone and invited half the whole school.
Right.
What did you do about that? If you come back, what do you do about them kids like that? Because you know that kid wanted to be in the ringleader because it's his house everybody used, because everybody know his mom's and dad leaving by 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, what's up?
When you see, they gotta understand, when they implement these laws, they need to really sit back, break it down. It's, you just can't write this law and say this is what it's going to be. This affects a lot of people in a lot of different ways. But the bad thing affects the good parent out of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's who gets hit harder, the good parents, the parents that's actually out there doing what they're supposed to do to make sure these kids come up right.
Right.
Yeah, John. I was shopping, and what got me, this kid was making a total nuisance of himself. His mother went to grab him and tell him she was going to correct him. I would have never told my mother or dad what he told her. He said, hit me. He said, I'll bring you up on abuse. Yeah, I would have did that when I got home. I wouldn't have sat for a week.
That's how you know the times gonna change. Because when we was younger, we wasn't big. You wouldn't dare pick up your phone, talk about you calling somebody or your parent. You know what it is. I hate to say it. Instead of out of them kids that really needed that help, that really was in abusive homes, and what happened was, For the misfortune of what happened to them kids, that calling ACS on your parent became the newest, growing popular threat towards the parent, towards parenting.
Okay, and
it
that
and help and help for the for the for the kids that's actually getting abused, which is that sad, because if a kid is actually getting abused, he need to come out of that situation. For kids that's really not getting abused, that you have parents just being a parent, and these kids is using ACS to threaten their parents, and then the, you know, the, from the school counselors to the school to any administrator, always promote that if there's something, if your parent do this to you, you make sure you call ACS.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's
another way that in the middle of parenting.
Right. To lead into that, now, I was going to say this. In my household, there was a blue flyer. I remember the flyer. It was a blue and black. It was a blue flyer, light blue flyer with black lettering. And in the bottom, it had the ACS number and big, bold letters. If this is happening to you. It had the outline. It didn't even have the face. It had the silhouette of two little children facing each other. I remember the flyer so vividly. I swear I do. And that hung up in the kitchen right next to the phone. Okay, right next to the phone. And what I was told was, if you're feeling froggy, leap. Leap. As I was getting my ass whooped, that's what I was told. Feeling froggy, leap. But not in this house. Okay, but my what I was going to lead into off of what you said, TVB, was now somebody also, another writer, I'm reading all these different articles and aspects of it, and another writer said, well, you know, this law was made, it's implemented, but however, the statistics, god damn it, I can't talk today, my tongue is too fat, the statistics says that 70% of the parents and the 70% of parents are actually getting on their kids behind and are taking that initiative and making sure that their kids are in school. So at the end of the day, as a parent and as, you know, somebody on the outside looking in, we can say that, oh, that's not going to work, or, oh, it's unfair. Not saying it's not going to work, but it's unfair of who gets in trouble and stuff like that. But, you know, they looking at which politicians mostly do. They look at the numbers of the situation. And numbers are saying one thing. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I'm going to tell you one thing. This law is in states of Florida and Indiana, but now for this law leaping over to the state of California and to the county of Los Angeles, which is a major metropolitan city, watch the outcome of it there. See how it's going to – see if it moves towards cities as New York and Chicago, major cities, because – L.A. is a major city, and then the problem, I've been to L.A., and the problem in L.A., they have too many youth on the streets doing whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a positive outcome come out of this, that law will be moved to New York and major cities quickly.
Right.
Now, if it comes a negative light or it's too much of a bang-bang hassle between social services, police, and parents, it's going to take its time to get here. So it's the whole thing is to watch the outcome, how this law is going to affect the city of Los Angeles.
What my concern is that the parents of the kids of the wealthy. That's my concern. Like I'm not saying all of California or all of any place, every place have its riches, you know, its riches and its goods, but do these laws affect the private schools? Do the same thing apply to these private schools? Because, you know, when you think of, I don't know, because when I'm thinking of Los Angeles and the kids, I've never been, but when I think of it, I think of people that migrated from everywhere else, is migrated, everybody wants to go. You know,
Good laws affect private and charter schools.
Right.
Is it for the public school system or is it for all school systems? But like I say, in the city of Los Angeles, they have a problem of youth in the streets from the youngest ages up, doing whatever they want to do. And then there, I hate to say it, you got a heavy majority of parents that just don't care, too.
Let me ask a question, though. Okay. Truancy officers.
Mm-hmm.
Truancy officers normally take care of any kid that's out there that's not in school. Isn't that the case?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But like here in New York, we got truancy officers, and I know my years of going through high schools. You treat truancy officers like you was treating cops on the block if you was hustling. You would always make moves. It was always ways to get around them, dip and dodge them. And then if they do catch them, most they do.
We ran into the subway station. I don't know about y'all, but I ran into the subway station.
But the most they did was catch you, take you back to the school, you get back to the office, swaps send you to class. And instead of you going to class, what you do? You dip right back out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You get right back out. So it was to a point that most truancy officers knew most kids on a first-name basis every day. Why? Because they play that cat-and-mouth game every day. They play that Tom and Jerry game every day.
Damn.
Here come the cat trying to catch the mouse. And the mouse is always going to find a way to scatter, get around you, mix around you. I did it when I was younger. I done ran from truancy officers, made it back to school, stayed in it for a minute, and bit right back out. We used to know the truancy officers that was trying to catch us all the time. It was like a game to us. So that's why I think they really implement this law, because they get frustrated, too, with that. You spending government money on these truancy officers to catch these kids. And what they do, they catch them. But it's an everyday cycle. It's a revolving door. We're going to play this game every day.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So playing that game every day is not solving nothing.
Right. This is a very interesting topic. If you just tuned in, you are listening to The Adult Zone. I'm your host, The Fresh Heart, and we also have your co-host, Black Reporter. And we have our panel of fantasy listeners. Out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, we have Lady C. Out of Brooklyn, New York, all day, every day, so we got Stevie B. And from Columbus, Ohio, we have John.
And John, you can be positive at all, so.
We're going to call you John H. Because everybody got a letter after their name. We're going to call you John H.
Cool. And you can be part of this panel also by calling 805-830-8320.
Oh, you remember.
Yes, I did remember. Anyway.
805-830-8320, the number to call or join in on the conversation. Right now, we're talking about the brand new laws that have been implemented and adapted state to state so far in the United States of parents being held responsible for their kids in grades 8 to 11. They're being fined or sent to jail up to a whole year for their missing school. Now, according to the law, another law actually, they said it's another that chronic absence is 10% of the school which rounds out to accumulate 10 or more unexcused absences in a single school year. So the school social workers will monitor the student's attendance, and a parent will be notified if their child has been accumulating two or three absences, and they file a notification, their folder of the school files to the prosecutor's office, and blah, blah, blah.
Let me ask a question now. What about that time during the school year? Because we, you know, us that do have kids, we notice that one time in the school year is always an outbreak. It's a flu outbreak, measles or something. When you got the majority of your kids go out sick, what they going to do then? They going to round us up like in buses? Like when the swine flu came out, when the swine flu epidemic came out, majority of the school kids was out for weeks and weeks on hand.
Mm-hmm.
You had it to the point that you had classrooms that had one or two kids to a class.
Or not even, because if it was broken out into that school, they had to disinfect that whole school. So not even.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, normally the school normally sends something to the parents, let them know that your child may come down with the flu or something like that. In other words, just an absence out of the clear blue will make you wonder. So, you know, and then if it habitually happens again and again and again, that's when you start to question it again.
When the bed bug thing broke out up here in New York City, it started in the school systems first. When you had schools had to close down and wash the whole school down. You had kids miss the school while because they were dealing with a bed bug epidemic. Is they going to understand that? Is they going to understand the excuse or the absence on that? Or are you just going to keep rounding something fine to us because y'all felt, oh, the kids is out of school. Y'all ain't, your parent must have doing what a parent supposed to be doing.
Right.
If it's something that big, if it's something that big, that it's an epidemic, then, you know, you have no choice. But if it's just someone who's being lazy, I mean, those are two different scenarios I'm passing.
Wow. So this is a very interesting topic. Do a research on it, and you know the different states trying to propose this new law. And I wanted to know, you know, why not go up in grades, like 9 and 10th grade?
I agree with you on that. They need to go up into the high school ages around the high school kids, because that's when you get your most rebellion. That is the high school years.
I beg to differ a bit. Because I was thinking that you start getting rebellious in junior high.
Well, you get rebellious in junior high, but you got to understand, when you get to high school, it's like starting over. It's one thing to go from elementary 5, 6, and most, I don't know if most schools, but I know when you go from 5th grade to 6th grade to junior high, it's really just it's just seamlessly, you know, happens. Like, okay, it's just another grade. But now you get into high school, it's a whole another world.
It's a whole different atmosphere. Yeah.
Right, it's a whole another environment, a whole another technical thing mentally for a child. You know, like now you're coming an adult. Now, you know, you tell them, this is what I think parents would tell their child, like, you know, now you're becoming an adult, now you need to be more responsible, you need to do this, you need to do that, and it's a whole set of games, it's a whole ball game now that you start ninth grade.
And when you start high school, you step into the school as a high schooler, your first time, you see the difference in the atmosphere, and you see the more freedom in the atmosphere. See, high school, that's what everybody saw getting into their little clique, who's going to run with who had that freedom to go do what they're going to go do. You got the kids that ain't actually going to stay in school, go to these classes. But then you got the kids that he was doing good in elementary and junior high. He was that kid that was going to class, but he get clicked up with a crew that, yo, come on, son, we going to cut. You ain't never cut before? All right, go back. You going to do your first cut down. Oh, it's fun. Don't worry about it. The class you missing. Don't worry about that class. You can make it up another day. This is now these kids is in this type of atmosphere, that type of freedom and peer pressure and cliques and all types of things. The worst thing for a kid is to be alienated in high school.
Right.
It just don't feel great.
Hey.
And once a kid gets alienated in high school, he got to
be like
that.
Hold on.
I'm about to say, do some of y'all out there think we're crazy? Give us a call and tell us. 805-830-8320 is the number. You know, if you think we're crazy about that, give us a call and tell us.
Crazy about
what? Black people in middle school.
Always do it, don't he? But only when you see. He always do it. He always loses me. He was doing fine until you get online. Like, he just lost you.
Hey.
Okay, what you were saying, Stevie B, before you was rudely interrupted?
No, I'm just saying, when a kid, as a kid, you get alienated in high school, that's the worst feeling because now you're in that box throughout your whole 4 years till you get up out of there to college, or if you do go to college if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get alienated like that, it's a harder struggle during high school. That's when now they bring up that whole situation of the bullying and things like that. But once the kid, once that kid gets alienated, it's hard for him. So most kids is going to run with the crowd because why? He don't want to be alienated. He's going to fall out. That kid going to fall out of the peer pressure because they don't want to be alienated. And that's
what a hard thing. That starts in middle school now. My granddaughter's in middle school, and that starts in middle school. They start the hair and all the other little things. If you don't want to be with them, we going to do this. It starts in middle school.
In New York, most of our schools in New York now is kindergarten to eighth grade, all in one building. Even though they do that up here in New York, even though once they get to that middle school age and they do that in middle school, they quicken up and I'm going, who getting their hair done and things like that. But in school. They still in school. They still getting the class. It's high school gives you that freedom now. It's your option when you went. It's like you got the option of if I'm going to class or not. If I don't go to class, I'll probably get alienated and criticized, so I don't want to be alienated and criticized, so then I'm going to run with the crew and we're going to go to these cookie parties and the ditch parties and we're going to go do this now. You're going to see that cut in New York, kids cutting during junior high era. You don't see that much because that's all in one building. And that building with the kindergarten to eighth grade, most New York City schools like that, the building is locked down.
Mm-hmm.
High school, that's not locked down like that. High school, they have the freedom to go out, or they go out during lunch to go eat and come back. So when you run it with your clique, and you don't want to be alienated, they're going to go out to school, go eat lunch, and you don't know if they're coming back. And see, here in New York City, even though you get your attendance taken in every class, it's one attendance that takes for the whole school day, and that's your homeroom class. And usually most kids don't even know which one is the homeroom class who's taking that one attendance. So you think they are trying to fall in line and make every class to make that attendance. And to the point they be like, whatever, I don't even know which one is my homeroom. Maybe I'll luck up one day and actually go to one of my classes and actually be my homeroom class. They're actually going to take the attendance for the whole school day. That's the crazy part about this. So, yeah, it's a catch-22 to this bill. It's a whole catch-22 to this bill. And, Lord, it's a whole scenario that they really need to sit down and really actually think about before they be saying, all right, this is law now, point blank.
They were already finding the parents now. This is the thing. They were already finding parents of kids, tardy kids. But now what they're doing is basically they implemented that now it goes on your record. It's a misdemeanor. You can actually space time. And that's the thing that's killing me. Like, what are y'all plans or how it's, first of all, in this economy, it's hard to get a job now.
Right.
Yeah. Not on my record. They do a background check on me. Now it's on my record that I was sent to jail for a year, and the employer will not give a damn why you were sent to jail.
All I know is that you've been in jail.
So now you just gave them another excuse on something so trivial. You done gave them another excuse on to not hire you. And like I said, this is going to affect public school students more than it affects those that are, you know, well off in the private and charter schools.
Yeah, because what's the reality of sense of finding me, jailing me, and put this on my record is going to help me. I'm long gone.
And how is it going to help my children? Now, what happens to my children? I'm going
to
send
my children.
And crud,
what
do they do?
And not only what happened to my children, what is the long one if I'm a good parent and you putting this on my record? Now an employer really got to be choosy on me because all he sees is criminal history. He's not even checking why, what happened, what was the circumstances of it happening. He just sees criminal history. I don't want that person.
Right.
Yep.
Now that's the job. Let's talk about her house. Apart, like so much is being affected by this. Like this is not, you know, oh, you're just going in there for a weekend. No, you're talking about a whole year. Now I done lost my house. I done lost, you know, I done lost everything because my child was out for 10 days. Go ahead.
And if you're a single parent, you got more than one child, okay, there's nobody to take your children. Your children are now in the system.
Right.
And you got to go through that to try to get them back and prove, you know, well, you were in jail. Then they got, well, what were you in jail for? You got to go through it. It's a snowball thing. It keeps rolling and get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Hey, you know what this law also creates another problem on the front? Homeless youth, because you get a parent that gets, you know what, I'd rather put you out before I lose my other kids and lose a roof over my head.
Right.
You got parents get to a point that they'd rather put the child out. They're like, well, I'd rather you get out. Because you think you're going to do you, me being affected, me getting locked up. And
well, I don't think that'll really happen. But what I'm saying is, you gotta understand these aren't high schoolers. These are young kids from the ages 11 on down, and if you kick a child out who becomes pregnant by the age of let's say 14 or 13, you can't kick your child out.
Nope.
If they're pregnant, it's against the law.
Even here in New York, I'm seeing it because I worked a little since with Covenant House and stuff. Covenant House keeps two programs so far. They keep the main shelter one down on there 42nd, and down on 53rd, they got another shelter for homeless girls.
What?
And when you listen to their story, why? The girls was going out doing what they wanted to do, got pregnant. Parents just sexually get out. And now this is a place that's filled up with young girls that's pregnant from the age of 13, 14. The youngest I think there at my time, working there at one time, was around 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that parent don't want the responsibility of that child. That parent just finally gave up on that child, saying, I can't deal with you. You don't listen to me. You fight me. I got police running in and out my house. I'm in danger of losing my house, my kids, my job. So putting up with your madness, I'd rather for you to just get out. And that's why you're having some of these kids down there 42nd and 14th Street and all over the city, just wandering the city, just getting into any of them and have no roof over their head. Because they're doing it. It's actually being done.
That's crazy.
And that creates another problem, because you're dealing with, now, like I say, we're going back to a parent that's actually doing what she got to do for her kids. And she got more than one kid, but she got one kid that's just consistently out of her control. They just want to finally give up and get fed up and say, get out, and put them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to be, oh, well, look at this. Then you're going to wonder, why we got this problem of so many homeless youths on the street? See,
that's why
it goes back to the point that before all these consequences go down that road, you need to stop sitting there funding these corporate government funded. Well, corporate and government get together and fund these one thing instead of bringing the funding back to the communities and to social programs that invent these type of problems.
Exactly.
A parent gets to a point that she can't control that child. It's a program, a social program there for the helper with that child, to help that child before it gets to that type of situation. But no, they're not seeing that. They're seeing what they need to go fund. They need to fund the defense bills, and they need to fund everything else, but you want to cut away from the major thing that will help this society.
Right. This is the top of the hour. Hold on, this is the top of the hour, 9:05 p.m. Central. You're listening to the Adult Zone with LaCrush and...
And you're listening to it on Full Fantasy Radio, powered by Block Talk Radio, where this is Black Report, along with our host, hostess of the most is Northstar Sharks.
The number to call in, 805-830-8320. Right now, we're talking about school reform, which this conversation has just turned into just pure old school reform. Parents being held responsible for their kids, grades 8 to 8, being not attending school. And I think it's, 10 times out of the school year.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Oh,
I think that should be, if you're going to put me to jail, give me more than 10 days. give me more than 10 days of what is to happen. Like, let this be a pattern. You get what I'm saying? Like, they in school for how many months?
You know what this is coming from also? This is coming from the United States government of Border Ed trying to catch up with every other country that's doing better than them in
exactly.
Because they know every country don't put up with this madness of kids not being in school, kids not being taught. You got some countries,
right,
kids go all year round with no break.
The government actually helps out. The government's not doing that here. They feel like, you know, and especially in the poor economy like this and those other countries, the government is helping out. The government is giving you tools and things, you know, from the beginning, you know, like, okay, if you got to take your child to school, you know, we'll be at your house at 6 o'clock for your daughter, you know, for school breakfast or something like that. Like, the government helps these people out.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the point I made earlier. We got a government that's supposed to work for the people and that don't work for the people. We're hired by the people. It takes the people to go to the polling station and vote for these people to get in the office. And we sent you there to represent us. So for you to be there to represent us, you think you're trying to come back and try to help us instead of taking more away from us.
We get the people in office, and they not doing what they claim that they was going to do. They talk a good one. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They talk a good line to get in.
And then they play this game. We play the two-party system game. Oh, I'm a Democrat. And I'm a Republican. Okay, since Democrats in charge, us Republicans, we not going to help out. We're going to block everything y'all going to do. Or Democrats, if the Republicans is trying to do something, they're going to block everything the Republicans do. So nobody benefits. While they playing the two-party game, we the ones losing out.
No,
we the ones is taking a loss in our communities. That's another problem.
Crush.
It's all this politics and the government here in our country play too many games with each other, and they're the one that's gaining. They're the one.
And
that
you
the
know who's actually running this country? It's no longer the politics. It's the fucking big companies. What's up, John?
Yeah. Corporate run companies with their lobbyists is the ones that could go into Washington and control everything, control every law, every bill that's put up in front of the Senate and the Congress.
What's up,
big money and big oil.
Hold on, CVB. Hold your thoughts for me, babe. You need your own show, babe. You need your own show. Go ahead, John. What you gonna say?
You know, they're talking about putting parents in jail and stuff for having bad parents.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be better if they had a law for to put deadbeat politicians in jail if they don't do their job?
I know that's right.
Because basically all...
Okay,
all right.
Somebody got excited.
All that's going on in this country is big business and big oil. Money talks, mm-hmm. bullshit walks.
And the problem about this, these big companies get represented in Washington more. Why? Because they got the money to afford for a lobbyist. What a lobbyist do? All he do is go to Washington and see all his friends that's in the Congress and the Senate, and, hey, I got a bill that needs to be passed. Or, hey, I got a bill that don't need to be passed because it's going to affect my client.
Mm-hmm.
So us, the people, have to start realizing, and see, and this is the bad thing, us as the people watch the game get played in our eyes. They still don't realize we're going to have to try to beat them at their own game. We're going to have to be a lobbyist for us as a people. We're going to have to be the ones coming out of these communities as a lobbyist and getting the Washington and getting to their ears. And
sure.
If they don't want to listen, you got to renown them. In 4 years or 2 years, when it's time for another election race, your job can be taken from you because you need my votes to get in.
Yep.
That's crazy, man. What'd you say, Lady C?
The money they spend on elections, some of that to promote a candidate, they could take some of that funding and put it into education and working with the neighborhood program. I mean, millions of dollars just for an election?
Right. And then the bad thing is, like, if you pay attention to in this politics game, pay attention to these Republicans. We got a bunch of Republicans is going out there trying to get the candidacy for the Republican Party, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them sound stupid as a doornail, but half of them say they want to cut the same government program, education. What was that one? The other one, Rick Perry, he tried to list the three things he cut, and he couldn't remember the third thing, but the one thing he did remember was education. Why are you sitting there trying to cut education when education is cut hard enough?
Yeah.
That's why he's no longer running.
Right, and then
he's no longer running. But we got what? And Rick Mommy is even better. Another one is dumb as a doornail. But they want to get rid of education. They want to get rid of the Department of Environment. So you want dumb people and you want a polluted country.
Exactly.
And let's not forget the criminals that we have in the school of board itself. You know, the people that sit up there ciphering money and so forth and so forth. Like they made them arrest from the people to school the board, you know, the superintendent, whatever, having millions of dollars going on all types of expensive trips and buying all types of stuff with school funds, and the school doesn't get it, and we don't, you know, nobody's replenishing it or repaying it back.
It's the simple thing of we have too many people who got in the power, and all they had in their heart was the power of corruption. So the corruption runs rampant. And then in the media light, you see, media don't help no better because most media is corporate funded. So the media spins your eyes to look at the story as these politicians did no wrong. They trying to do what they trying to do for the community, but they not. It's a corporate greed in their heart. And that corporate greed is destroying our education system with our kids. And then now it's getting to a point, it destroyed it so bad, you want to say, oh, kids are not going to school, so we're going to hold the parent responsible, which a parent is responsible for his kids to get to school. But to what a point? What a step?
To a point, yeah.
To what extent you hold them responsible? Because I'm making sure the child gets to school. I'm making sure the child has everything he needs for school. Now, if I got a child that's sitting there cutting school, especially a school that the school workers is not even really holding the school down, that kids can slip out the door left and right in and out. So at what point I'm held responsible for that? Because I gave you responsibility of my child until 3 o'clock, until I get back there to pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect you to at least take care of your half of the responsibility, same way I take care of my responsibility of it.
Okay. We got right now Stevie B out of Brooklyn, New York, ladies and gentlemen. We also have Lady C out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we have our good friend John H. out of Columbus, Ohio. We also have Black Reporter, my co-host, and myself, the Crush Hearts. Get tuned into the Adult Zone. We are talking about school reform. We just cracking down on the education, politics, everything in general. You can always join the conversation by dialing 805-830-8320. I also want to remind y'all that we'll be back here again Thursday for Crush Rules School Battle. You got the new school versus the old school. 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. You got a Crush. I forgot the name of the new school Power Hour from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then we have Black Reporters Old School Jam Mix from 10 p.m. from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. You can send your song request. You can send your song request to phonefantasyradio@gmail.com. What's up, Brian?
And just so everybody knows that the idea of the old school mix is to play that music that everybody used to get up and get on the dance floor with whenever they played it in the club. So, you know, the middle song.
We're going to have some disco, some funk. What other name brand we got in there? All I know is
we're
going to
have a little blues.
I've seen the Parliament. I've seen, what else I've seen on there? I've seen something, some funky get there tonight, something. I gotta go find these songs. I'm like, what? I don't have these songs. What is this? What happened to the Gap Band? Frankie Beverly and the Maze and all that.
Oh,
that.
Man, I got their greatest hits on CD, the Gap Band. They're cool.
Okay.
You guys know a little Otis and Sam Cooke's in the mix.
Marvin Gaye.
I'm 90. Yeah. I'm the 90s.
Oh,
I'm the late 80s to 2000s. I'm the late 2012, and he's that. he's the other half from the mid 80s to 60s. Black Reporter, are we going back to the 60s?
We're going back as far as the 50s. We're coming up to the mid 80s. Because we're gonna grab Zap, you know, more bounce to the album, stuff like that, you know.
We going to the roots of rap, y'all. It's gonna be serious on every last Thursday. This is going down. It's gonna be serious. Or Crush Groove. You're going to be like, I didn't even know this person rapped. I'm telling you, folks. It's going to be more than just Curtis Blow, folks. I'm telling you, there was rap before Curtis Blow.
Don't push me. Because I'm so close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head.
It's going to be real serious. It's gonna be real serious.
And we had some real rap holding us down from that late '80s to the early 2000s before
right.
Rap went.
We had a good run, you know. I get to play my favorites, the Rakims and the Slick Ricks and you know, all that good stuff, and then I'll try to switch it up with the Lil Wayne. I doubt if I play Lil Wayne, y'all.
You gotta hit him with the little public enemy and the KRS-One's.
Oh yeah.
Let them know what it really was. And then you got, I ain't gonna lie, you have some new school artists that's still holding it down for MCs lyrically wise, music wise, that don't get the light, that need that light. You have artists like Joel Ortiz and a kid from the Bay Area I just heard named Watt Smith that mm-hmm. really hold that true essence of hip hop in them.
Send that music my way. We'll play it. We'll feature it on here. You know, we do music from today, tomorrow, and yesteryears. We can't even call it yesterday.
Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
He went to yesteryears. Black reporters go to yesteryears. It's no longer yesterdays. No, he went to
yesteryears. Yeah, but some of that old stuff is just as good, though, man.
Yeah, you think so?
Hey.
It's something you like?
Yeah. It's minted gold.
Anyway, folks, you tuned into the Adult Zone once again. We are talking about school reform. If you are a parent of kids 11 years old or younger, or your children are in kindergarten up to eighth grade, and
let's do
this. Let me start from the beginning. What are some reasons, besides laziness and besides your kids being sick, what are some reasons your kid would actually miss 10 days out of school?
Use what they used to say about us. They're just bad as hell.
Okay, so my thing is this. First of all, what is acceptable excuses? Like, what if four parents died? What if my great-grandma, my grandmother, and my grandfather died in that year? What if, you know, my kid is going to be held responsible because he had to go to, like, six funerals?
You bring the program from the funeral.
Right, so my
exactly.
So they trying to say my notes are no longer acceptable while my kid's not in school, even though he forged my signature. Nobody got that one?
Okay. I'm not even touching it.
All right.
That's one of the oldest ones in the book, Crush.
What?
If you gotta go down that line, they all died in a mass accident.
The thing is, they want the kids to go to the doctor, but not everything is a doctor. If the child wake up and got diarrhea, you know they ate something, you can't send them to the doctor all the time. You may not can get them there.
True.
So, you know, we woke up and our mom said, "Here, take this, go lay your butt down." You don't go to school with that. But now, if you send the child to school with that, then they call you, come get your child.
So,
where's the excuse? You know, they make it hard on them.
Yep.
They make it feel hard. You know, it's easy to put all these rules up, but when you look at it, what are you doing to the parents? You're holding them over a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
You're tying their hands because you're telling me, what they need to do is have a whoop-ass class. Your child ass, come on, this is where you whoop your child ass.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when your parents used to actually come to your school and whoop your ass in front of the whole class?
Oh yeah.
Or they gave permission to the teacher. Yeah, you could rule his ass, and the teacher had that long
yardstick. Corporal punishment now.
The yardstick, it would tell you to hold out your hand.
No, that's sergeant punishment.
I remember them days. PS 44.
Nope.
Miss Jackson was my first grade teacher. He said, hold on,
the longest corporal punishment. y'all didn't hear what I said. No longer corporal punishment. Now sergeant punishment.
Well, I remember in elementary, her name was Miss Pat. She whooped me, she paddled me, and I refused to cry, and she hit me the third time, and I looked at her, and I was so mad. I said, well, is that it? She said, yes. And I went and sat down, and I would not cry till like 10 minutes later. And she was so mad at me.
And I can see you with them cheeks and that angry face. No, you're not gonna make me cry.
Well, the thing is, sometimes it don't be the pain that makes you cry. It actually be the experience.
The frustration.
Just being overwhelmed with this emotion and
in
sometimes
front of the class and
just,
everything.
Right, and then all of a sudden that sinks in like, wow. I don't know how to Miss Jackson did it. Miss Jackson was a big old black lady. She said, "Pizza, come to the front of the room." And I walk so slow. I'm like, "Why
are you doing
that?"
I was so slow. You know, you're
in trouble. I didn't even do that. I was crying. I didn't even get to the front of the room. Everybody's kicking, and looking at Leticia. I was like,
"Lord have mercy."
Yes. And she had this big old yardstick, and she's like,
yeah. And of course, back then, they were thick.
Yeah, they were real yardstick. It took a minute for them things to break. Oh, your hands.
Well, they didn't break like they do now.
But had a whistle strap. Had a whistle strap and was whoopee with the whistle strap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put plastic lace things together that they put whistles on. He would use that. And now you would be considered punishing the children. You know, you're beating them.
But
they kept us out of trouble.
True.
So we've had a very interesting conversation tonight about school reform. My last question about this for right now is, what are some alternatives that maybe lawmakers or, you know, parents themselves, what are some alternatives you think we could come up with besides sending the parents to jail? I vote school social workers should actually evaluate on a one-on-one basis. It's like, okay, if the child is absent 2 or 3 times, I understand. 5 or 6 times, you need to do Joe Clark syndrome and knock on a parent's door and talk to the parent and see if it's more to the story than just the child skipping class.
Exactly. And then there's also, you need to take into consideration the possibility of homeschooling your children.
Ew, don't be honest.
I'm sorry. Homeschooling your children.
Our show is not boring, damn it. No, it's boring. how rude. I'm hungry.
I'm sorry. No, that's a serious thought. Homeschooling your children.
Right. What you think, lady?
My brain is full right now. I don't know.
Okay, you have the argument that the parents may not necessarily be, quote unquote, intelligent enough to homeschool your child, which can possibly happen.
So you're saying the kids should get kicked out of school?
Well, like I said, that's a possibility.
The child is getting that's not helping anybody. Now they're going to be really dumb for real, for real. Like,
find someone in the neighborhood, a former teacher or something like that, who can homeschool the children. Child.
All right, from the 414 What a do. Welcome to Phone Fantasy Radio.
I didn't push one.
That's all right. I know.
Why is it always y'all who always play? I didn't press one.
And I had to bring you on. I had to bring you on because I have a question for you since you have like 14K.
You're busted.
You're the black octo mom.
right. If I had a miracle baby, so I could be bigger than octo mom. No, I'm just kidding.
My thing is this. Your kids that are from grade kindergarten to eighth grade. I don't know if they have it out there already, but they're saying that if your child missed 10% of school with unexcusable absences, then your file or you will be sent to the prosecutor's office, and they could actually press charges and charge you with a misdemeanor, and you could be sent to jail for 1 year.
Something like that's supposed to happen. Now, does it actually happen? I don't know, but they always say your child has missed 5 days habitual. She's a habitual trainer. Please do this and do that. I ignore the letters. They want to come get me. Hell. But typically, my kids pretty much all go to school because, like, they can't stay at home with me. So, I typically go to school. I don't wake up before they leave, but I know when I get up, they all better be gone. I don't want to hear about, no, I missed no buses. I don't want to hear about, well, it was cold. If it was school, you're there. Now, if it's a reason that I make them stay home, I do try to remember to send them home with excuses, which I truly know most of the time don't, because I don't want to write them. But, yeah, I feel that it's important for your child to go to school if they're going to actually learn, but if they're not going to learn, I don't need for them to go. So, yeah, I guess it all depends on the school and the child and the parents. If you got a little Pookie and Ray Ray who never go to school, but their mamas don't care, they don't go to school. Then, yeah, their mamas need to be locked the fuck up because they're supposed to care about their kids and send them to school. At least
right.
They can. Send them to school.
Right.
Go with that.
Wow, that's what we said. Well, that's what Black Border said.
Exactly.
Wow, I'm shocked.
But, it comes from a basic parental belief. Parents believe that you better get your butt up and go to school. You're not going to lay around here and act dumb and everything else. I got a responsibility to go to work every day. You got a responsibility to go to school every day.
Well, you know, they even got to the point where, like, if the chick that's here on W-2 was supposed to be our government cash assistance program, if your kids don't go to school, you get sanctioned out your check.
Right.
Yeah.
Your check ain't that much already, so you losing it. Or for your kids not going, you're going to be mad as hell because you ain't going to pay your rent, your electric, none of that. So they try to find ways to go to school, but you know, school don't teach them nothing, so it's like really a waste of time. So it's like a double-edged sword. Either you winning or you losing.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Well, that was our question. That was our topic for tonight. School reform. Any last thoughts about it?
I mean, yeah. Luckily for me, most of my two oldest kids will be out of high school real soon. Like in a couple more years, they have to deal with college and they be out of my house. Most like my younger ones that I would have to really worry about it, but they actually like school, so for me it's not a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, like when my other kids, one of my first two kids started going to school, then yeah, they've been a factor for me because they was lazy. I was a new mom. I really didn't, you know, I'm like, I could teach you everything. I was one of them, I homeschool your ass. Fuck. Like, I even tried that with my son once, but it was just getting too frustrating. He was always getting kicked out of school and suspended and stuff. I'm like, well, fuck it, we'll just sit here and we'll do this all day. Then it got to be too frustrating when he didn't get it. I'm like, you know what? I end up beating you instead of teaching you. So, yeah, you need to find you a school. But if you have that patience, I suggest you to homeschool them because that's the only way they're going to learn what you feel that they need to learn, but you got to make sure that you teach them everything that the world expects them to know, too. Not just what you think they should know.
Right.
So if you advance enough in your education to teach your own child and they're going to comprehend what you're saying, then, yeah, I feel that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, make sure you follow the curriculum.
Right.
That sounds like too much work. I don't know.
I mean, but when you homeschool them, it's not a set curriculum. It's just they got to know certain things to pass a certain test. Because, like, you got to tell the school board that you're homeschooling your kid, and then it's like a lot of paperwork, but sometimes that's what's best. If, like, especially if your kid don't fit in the school setting, or, you know, you have that kid that everybody picks on, and it will prevent bullying, tormenting, and they will have a safer childhood. But it will suck up their socializing skills, so, you know, you got to tread lightly.
Right.
Now, what happens if you're in one of these areas and they're starting to pop up all over the place where they're getting away from doing the test?
I don't trust nothing that ain't going to eventually do a test. Because the whole test, the whole purpose of the test is to see if everybody's where they think that they said that we should be. And if they feel if you don't meet that, then you're beneath everybody. So your goal is to make sure that your child can excel at that test so they can shut the fuck up. Or rather, you believe in the test. Not, it's all about shutting the other motherfuckers up. That's just the way I look at it.
Your child got to be able to go out there and do what other people can do, and then some.
Right.
Because you want your child to be able to go to the next level.
Yeah.
Not just
you don't want them to be set in a certain pattern.
Okay.
I want my child to be taught. If I could teach my child to be like, okay, I raised you right, I taught you the things that you need to know. Now go to this school right here and take this test, and you do better than all the kids that was in school. I want you to be able to do that. If you're going around a little check, Shamin, you better know what Shamin knows. If you're going about Raheed, you better know more than what Raheed knows and what he knows. If you're going about Becky, you better know what Becky do and how slim you know more than that. It's just like each class needs to know that plus some.
Right.
That is correct.
That is a very interesting, good point that you decide to call in Miss PG. Oh, by the way, y'all, I had fun, even though I was late yesterday, to the sidebar on Vodka with the host, Mrs. PG. Tell them about your show.
Hi, Noodle. Sidebar is a place where you come in, we kick it, you get to know each other, we have virtual drinks, and we discuss and everything. So if you're weak at mind, weak at heart, and you just can't stand certain topics, please be warned. You already forewarned, and if you feel you can't handle it, it's okay if you don't make it. If you're going to get there and try to judge the people that I'm talking to, then, you know, just support me in other ways.
I'm sorry I missed it yesterday.
Oh, it was going down yesterday. I wonder what it's going to be about tonight. I haven't decided yet. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, well, tell people the phone number they can call to get in, you know, where they can find you at.
The sidebar comes on 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. Its number to call in is 347-996-5097. I will say that slowly so Crush, you don't mess with me. 347-996-5097. Or you can log into blogtalkradio.com/4Aces Network.
Right. So I'll be
yay, me.
That. I'll be calling into the sidebar, Vodka Lane.
Hey, see me on Vodka Lane.
And I might be there also.
We're going to chop it up because we didn't get to have our normal, usual show fun. We actually had a topic. It's been a while since we actually had a topic to talk about.
That question was on my mind, so I had to ask it. I tell you, that's just how it works. Something hits me, and I'm like, I gotta ask. I'm like, hold on, let me ask my people.
Right. We actually had a topic tonight. Very interesting topic. Shout out to Stevie B for calling in and voicing his opinion. It was always a pleasure to have you on, sir. John H. out of Ohio. So what else, John?
Columbus,
Ohio. Okay, and you know, our usual people that call in, Lady C, PG, thanks for stopping in. Black Reporter.
Yes, ma'am.
I know it sounds like I'm ending the show. I'm really not. I'm just taking a note from PG and say it early.
Yeah.
A note from PG, just get it out early. Black Reporter. Okay,
yes,
so let me ask you about this playlist you gave me for Thursday. What the hell is an AWB? I just realized I don't even know what the hell that is.
You've never heard of AWB?
Is it short for something?
The average white. She don't know. Somebody clue this girl in. The average white man.
The average white man?
Never heard
what?
Of
oh, average,
average
white
man?
Man.
I know who that is.
Oh, picking up the pieces.
Yeah. Somebody clue this girl in.
I know. I
wouldn't have got it from the initials, though, Crushy. I'm with you. I would have never got it from the initials unless I sang the song with it. But from then, I wouldn't have got it.
Thank you. I know Brother Johnson because of Strawberry Letter 23. I know of that song. I like that song. Funkadelic. The Sunshine Band. This is just some of the stuff he got on here, y'all.
Are we having a throwback day?
On Thursday on Crush Grooves. Hold on Thursday at Crush Grooves, we have from 9 to 10. We have La Crush, New School Power Mix, which will cover from I guess late '80s to 2012, and then anything below the late '80s is going to be Black Reporter's old school jamming. So he gave me the playlist. Right, he gave me the playlist so far. We got some Rick James. We got some Earth, Wind, and Fire.
For the next couple of weeks, I'm trying to stay away from Slow Jam. I want to go with the Slow Jam as we get closer to Valentine's Day.
Well,
put some Barry White.
What I'm going to say is Valentine's Day is actually the adult zone. What are we going to do for Valentine's Day? The adult zone. Are we going to have the adult zone on Valentine's Day? I'm not planning on having no Valentine's. You going to be here, Black Reporter?
What day does that fall on? I need to know.
A Tuesday.
Oh, that means the sidebar going to be on. Oh, sucky ducky now.
I was going to say, like, we don't know.
I might have to plan something.
You know what?
Watch all girls' hands.
Behind the ball. We should take over BTR.
That's what you want to do?
We can take over BTR from 9 to midnight.
Ooh.
I mean, because I get off at 11. You get an hour, so that's 12, right, midnight. Then the sidebar come on, and so from like 9 to 2, my time.
I can put up the old sidebar so we don't have an hour break, and then we just jump it all the way through. Yep, we'll make that 1 hour, like, just mellow moody things and get ready for the sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that'll work.
Real sexy like.
That sounds good.
Take over BTR.
We ain't did a BTR takeover in a very long time.
Right, we haven't done that, but back to that, back to that. So that's a Tuesday, and
That's what it'll do.
That's what it's going to be called, the Love on Top Takedown.
All right.
Blue Sky Entertainment and Phone Fantasy Radio presents.
Yeah.
Love on Top BTR Tour.
We can do it in the last hour. We can pull up another account and do a last little hour just to fade it on out. Some more mellow moves, like now that you done got all hot and bothered at the sidebar.
That's wrong. But also right.
But literally, if we did Black Reporter, if we really wanted to, we with both our accounts, we could do 6 hours on the VCR, like straight.
Damn.
Yeah, we could.
Because remember, and we hold.
No, that VCR, you got 8 hour tape.
And we also hold.
We can do that.
Right, we can do that one day. Because we got 2 hours. Like, you didn't even have to open New Town. We got 2 hours. Plus, we got an hour overtime. That's 3 hours. And
yep,
then they hold three hours. And we can hold about 50 listeners on a thing. So we
right.
gotta start giving people our ideas.
Right, right. We need to start having our private conversations.
Right, we're giving people all our ideas. Now everybody gonna have a tour, a VCR tour. Watch, right. Watch it happen. Somebody gonna have a tour, VCR. Yeah, you can. This show join forces.
They blowing it up.
Right, it's crazy. All right.
This mother.
So we're gonna have a special edition of Adult Zone Black Reporter on Valentine's Day, or we're gonna turn it into Crush Rooms and play music.
Nah, it's gonna be Adult Zone. Cause we're gonna break it down. We're gonna talk.
Adult Zone.
Then we're gonna do that last hour of the groove. And then we're gonna go into the talking again, and then phase it back out with some more love making music.
Okay, real man.
Let
me stop for somebody, reporter. Ooh. So I know this is gonna happen very soon. We're gonna do the best of Phone Fantasy Radio. I was actually in my account and I was just looking up all the old stuff that we've done, Black Reporter. We've had some awesome topics on this show.
Yeah, I know.
We had some very decent topics on the show, from the cleanup man. We talked about menage a trois. We talked about sex in the workplace.
We've also had some interesting guests.
Right, we had a couple of stars, porn stars, that is. We've had some decent things on our show. I don't even know what the hell it is. A flash flood takeover. What the hell is a flash flood takeover? I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what that is. It says a flash flood takeover. No, that was Candy Crush and Dave O.
Oh.
Shout out to
Dave O. You know, when you said Flash, you know what came to my head.
No. We had Esther Mogul on here. We had Supreme Diva, Norma Six. We've had Rocky from Large and the Charge magazine. We've had my doctor on here. My personal doctor. I got to make an appointment to see her soon. We've had Laurie Edwards on here, Blizzum.
You know who I'm talking about, Crush?
No, I don't. Don't put me in it.
Huh?
Don't put me in it.
Our friend from a few weeks ago.
Steve Williams, the Dean. But he wasn't really guest. He was really just a regular caller. We didn't give him the limelight.
Oh, that's true.
To talk about that, did I tell you what happened? We got a letter, an email. He got an email from somebody who, did I tell you this? He got an email from somebody who listened to the show and I guess checked out some of his podcasts, and they sent him a very disturbing email. Now, it's not the fact that they sent them the email. The fact was the name, the email address that they made, it was called MissPassTheBrick@gmail.com. So if y'all listen to our show, y'all know Brick from Brooklyn has called in here for Curvy Love Talk Radio. She called up to the show. She's chill with us. We're definitely going to have her back again. And we started calling her Pastor on the show just for the fun of it. You know, we were kiki, kaka, and all that. And, yeah, Black Report, like, they really did that. And it was called Shame on You. That was the topic. And I'm going to read y'all some of it. Just going to read y'all some of it. Because they went ham on him. They said, first off, you say you're married, then why the fuck, that's what they said, then why the fuck are you a real man? You are clearly cheating on your wife, or you are in the middle of a divorce. You never even prove to your listeners or the crush that you're married. You keep putting up these podcasts talking about hooking and talking to women when you claim you're married. What are you doing? Trying to be a solution to these young autistic boy with Asperger syndrome. And she's like, this person is really going in on him about one of his podcasts. And then they said, don't try to meddle with the real Max and players. You're a fat square and should quit trying to come with these fake websites. Make up your mind. What is your name? And they just go in on him. That's crazy. He got his. I mean,
ooh,
I don't.
Shit.
Yeah, he hit me up, and he was like, you know, do you know this person? I was like, no, that's not us. They're like, shame on you, Victoria. Then you charge people for your online classes, but have them free on another website. You're a fraud. And needs to leave his innocent young men alone.
I mean, ripped him up and down one side and down the other.
Right.
I ain't heard that saying in a while.
Stay the fuck off the net and be a good father and husband. So, they went in.
Uncle.
They went in on him, but yeah, that was the D relationship coach, alpha male, whatever you want to call him. What you think, Black Reporter? What do you think
about
that?
I stepped away for half a second. What was that now?
I said, what did you think about that email? He always stepped away, didn't he?
I said that it only proves that this guy, I mean, stood out and put his jaw out. And you always know that when somebody comes up and puts their jaw out, ready for somebody to knock them across the jaw, it's going to get hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened.
So, one more question. PG.
Yes.
When are we bringing back Ladies' Night? What happened to that?
I'm wondering if we was bringing that back. I was going to ask you that yesterday. I'm down for Ladies' Night.
But you know I'm not.
You will be.
And you think this song is about you. How about your wife? So,
let me know. I'm down.
I'm thinking I can do it on Crush Grooves because so far, what Crush Grooves has done, like each Thursday has its own theme. So far, this is what has played out for the month of January. Each Thursday had its own theme, except for the first Thursday. Like the second Thursday had the Boom Boom Room where we do our sex stories. The third Thursday has spoken memoirs, where we do the freestyle open mic.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the last Thursday is going to be the school battle with me and Black Reporter.
That's because the first Thursday was Ladies' Night.
Right, the first Thursday Ladies' Night.
Yep.
So.
I can go with
that. Huh? Black Reporter.
Okay.
However, in certain months, we have an extra Thursday.
Ooh,
between
okay.
the first and the between the third and the between the third and the fourth or the last Thursday of the month is extra Thursday there.
Ooh.
And what that is going to do is I guess I'll put that as a guest. Should the cool guest should be on there. That'll be the fantasy limelight. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, that'll work.
Mm. That's what I'm thinking.
And don't be surprised when you hear of the network Phone Fantasy Radio, because we are growing daily and we are hopefully going to be bringing on new shows and new hosts and things of that nature.
Yes, this is true. I didn't want to say nothing, but this is true, Black Reporter. Thank you. Right. Thanks, Black Reporter. We appreciate it. So I told you, we can't never tell Black Reporter nothing. We always tell it on somebody. But yeah, we are planning on bringing a few shows to the network, to the station. Fall Fantasy Radio, the station, because that's what it is, really, in my eyes. So we are bringing a few shows. So far, we got two shows in the making. Two point five shows in the making. So.
Two for the price of one.
I'm available on Wednesdays and Fridays, you know.
Wednesdays and Fridays? Huh?
Yeah, I'm available on Wednesday or Friday.
It's like hint, huh?
Yeah, I already said, give me a show. There wasn't no hint, wasn't no slim and it was dead on. Give me a show.
Give me a show. Give me a show and you pay for it. You gotta pay for it. It's cheap.
Where did I hide the message?
It's not for $40, but it's cheap.
All right, let me know.
So, you know, we got that planned out. Sooner or later, we're going to bring back the 5 days or 7 days of Phone Fantasy Radio. Remember, it used to be 5 days a week at one point.
Yeah, I must admit, y'all, I'm getting my radio hold back on. Y'all going to find me on the all times of the day. I'm getting my radio hold back on.
Uh-oh.
You trying to get Black Reporter to show, too. Black Reporter.
Look out, world. Here comes BT.
Black Reporter is interested in doing it from his cubbyhole. However, if Black Reporter wants to do a show, I got to do the show with him. That's the only catch.
Yeah, he needs a supervisor.
He needs
a
co-host.
Right, he has to have a co-host.
Oh, I got a great one for him.
And what's that?
Cotton Candy. She's on Twitter. She's very well endowed.
Right, Cotton Candy. Shout out to Cotton Candy. I've seen her pictures.
She is. She's cute. She's got two good qualifications.
She's so silly. She got two good qualifications. She is so silly. So we just busting it, freestyling it. And as we do this, you know, funny how time flies when you're having fun. We're down to the 2 minute mark on the show. I wanted to again want to thank TVB, John H, Lady C, PG, BKL, and myself, LH. Anybody get that?
Oh, and FCD.
Who's FCD?
Me.
I said BLK, damn it.
Oh, BLK. It's okay, LCD, whatever.
Overtime.
Lord.
I got burned.
Between Black Reporter and John. I'm like, who the hell is FCD? I was really thinking. All right, 90 seconds. I was really thinking hard, too. Like, I stopped and really stood for a minute, like, who the hell is
like, she was thinking hard.
You so nasty, bro.
I'm glad I made it.
You said you were thinking hard.
Can we do a show without the nastiness? Can we actually do a show without? We was doing good until John started thinking about titties.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
folks, this has been the Adult Zone. Right now I'm going to give it off to Black Reporter. He's going to do an outro. And we'll see you here Thursday at 9 p.m.
What time there was has ceased to be. There just is no more. Yesterday is gone. Forget about tomorrow's yet. Don't worry about today. It's here. Make the most of it. Stand for something you believe in, because you can fall for anything. If we didn't play everything you want to hear, you heard everything we played. Now go ahead and tell that one. On your face, put a big smile. We will see you in a little while. Otherwise, on Thursday, with the new school and the old school mix, right here on your Phone Fantasy Radio. And until then, remember, you are in, and we are outie. Have
later,
a good one.
I'll see you
Bye.
Thursday.
See you Thursday.
Oh, I'll be a complete jump. Don't
worry. See y'all
at
the sidebar. See you at the sidebar. See me at the side of the bar. Bye.
Bye.